This is Ollie Allen at Hudson Area Library in Hudson, New York. It is May 30th, 2026, and we are here as part of the Oral History Summer School 2026. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Xavier Johnson. I'm a resident of Hudson, NY.
Great. To get started, tell me about your earliest memory.
Ooh, and I think that was a long time ago. One of my earliest memory is walking down Warren Street before all of like the antique shops and all the food places were there. Walking with my mom and going shopping. I love shopping currently. Yeah. I think Dunkin' Donuts, I think, was the earliest memory. We used to go every morning before school, and we would get munchkins. I was always have to get a couple munchkins, and then my grandma and mom would get their coffee or whatever they always get.
Could you tell me a little bit about your mom?
Yeah, so my mom actually grew up here fully, and her mom came up here. I don't know when, the exact date. But she was a full resident through her life. She went to Hudson High School. And then we actually moved around 2018 to Washington State to live with my brother for a couple years. We moved back fairly recently, I want to say around 2020, 2022. And then we've been here ever since that.
Could you tell me about living in Washington State?
Yeah, so I went to school there, elementary and middle school. We left during when I was in high school to move back here. It's a beautiful state, I have to say. It rains a lot, but very beautiful. The mountains. We actually lived in a part where you can see Mount St. Helen from the apartment balcony and stuff. So that was fun. We did a lot of field trips up there, too. We went to Fort Vancouver, which was a very cool historical site we got to go to in Vancouver.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. Could you tell me about some memories that you made there with your family?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So my brother actually moved there for work originally, so I would mainly hang out with my friends. We would go blackberry picking and stuff in the woods. We would sneak out of the house during sleepovers. We would tell that we're at this one friend's house, and we're actually at the other one's. And there was this big rock mountain behind the nursing home, actually, in Camas, Washington. And we actually got to watch the sunset up there until we saw that there were eyes in the woods, and we had to run home because I think it was wolves in there, most likely since it was like 5 in the morning. But we used to ride our bikes, and then how to tell if we were at someone's houses, or bikes or scooters would be at that person's house midnight, because my one friend lived actually next door. So we used to throw candy to my brother on Halloween from his balcony. So that was very fun.
Tell me about some of the friends that you had there. You were doing all these things with.
Yes. So most of them went to the school. I actually met them when I very first moved up there. Rowan, he was one of my best friends. I met him first. He lived directly next door. And then a couple others, like Josh. I believe the other one was Aaron. We hung out a couple times, but I feel like Rowan, Enzo, and Andrew were like, we were like all three of us together all the time doing everything. Especially the last week of living there, I actually went to most of their houses every single day, especially Andrew's. His mom taught at Liberty High School, or she was an assistant there. So from Liberty High School, we would leave to go to his house. And then Rowan, he actually moved, I think the year before, somewhere close enough, but still in Camas.
So you said that you moved up there, and then you're back here now. Can you tell me about that transition?
It was a lot. We took by train, which is 3 days, actually. Well, from, I think we left from Portland, I believe, and then came back to Albany. We stayed with my cousin a few days, and then we found a place in Hudson. It's downtown. Beautiful place. There's a site of Promenade Hill and Henry Hudson River from the back, and it's beautiful.
Tell me about your house. I'm not from around here. Okay. So.
It's Front Street. It's Hudson Terrace. There's this big multiple apartment complex. There's, I think, 1 to 3 bedrooms in the whole premises of that. I think there's 200 units from the whole strip of Front Street, basically. It starts between Amtrak at the One Bridge and then goes between the Kite's Nest.
What are some memories that you have there?
The current house or the old?
Sure, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. The new house, I started, because I didn't really know much people, so I started actually expanding my photography business of doing landscapes and stuff. I started it in 2019 at 12 years old. I started doing like little photography of like the road, flowers and stuff, and then it's been expanding through the years. I'm actually trying to step out of it though, because I'm like, I need a break. It gets a lot after a while, especially coming up with the photos you have to post, and then it also is a blog, so then I have to come up with topics that people are going to actually read. In the summer though, I'm having a topic plan of the cemetery. I go there, find a couple graves, and then maybe every other day I post it and then try to find the history on that person that passed away, and then that's their permanent living spot now.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Could you tell me more about the photography business?
Yeah, so I think I officially like produced everything in 2020 when I got a laptop for the first time, and then I started doing more of that. I have a Facebook page and stuff. I don't really offer family shoots or stuff like that. It's mainly just landscape. I'm trying to do more events and stuff like that, so I'm reaching out. And then also galleries, I'm reaching out to do some of them. It's mainly photography of the lighthouse. I have a couple of those. And then little spots between Hudson. So by the courthouse, actually, that one church, I have a beautiful photo of. It's kind of blurry. It was snowing, I think, last year I got it. Flurrying, and then the camera lens kept getting wet. But then I sat down and actually looked, and I was like, that's actually kind of cool. It looks like a scary movie, kind of, like how the back is all black, and then it's kind of fuzzy, but then you can see the church's structure still.
How did you get into photography?
I got into photography before 2012, I think. I was... 10, I think. I got this very cheap point-and-shoot camera from Walmart. I think it was like $10. So not the best, but it worked for a 10-year-old. And then we lived in Otigo then, which is by Global Skill in Oneonta and SUNY. Or is it SUNY? I believe SUNY. And we lived on this big stretch of road, County Highway 7. And I would just take photos of the road and the trees and like the flowers on the side and stuff, and then the ponds and stuff, because we go fishing all the time. And I think that's where the spark of photography started, because I like how you can get your emotions in the photo, but then you don't have to say anything, and then you can kind of edit it and make it how you want to and what you want it to feel like, and you can get different interpretations from the photo, if it's a sad photo, happy photo, etc.
Yeah, that sounds great. I know you said you did a lot of like landscape, and yes, you took pictures of the church. Is that what you usually like to do, or do you have like a favorite?
My favorite currently is Promenade Hill. Taking a photo of, say, whenever I forget, I believe her name is. She's up at Promenade. It outlooks the railroad track in Hudson River and the boat launch, especially during sunsets. It's beautiful, like different colors, purple sometimes, and all that. I tried, I think it was last year, getting Northern Lights. Everyone else posted them on Facebook and all over, and like, I missed them. So I was like kind of bummed about that, and then it happened again, and then again, I missed them. But I mean, there's chances again for everything, so hopefully soon they will come again and be seen.
Definitely. Has that always been the kind of photography you're interested in?
I would say so at the moment, because I like people and stuff, but interacting with some of them sometimes can be tricky, especially if I were to do, like, family shoots. You have to, like, position it here, here, and I don't really like being bossy. So I don't think I would be a great role for that. And then I feel like if I would mess up, it's on me, and then I ruin the moment and stuff like that. So I like the landscapes more, because if I mess up, I can kind of interpret it with something else, whether if it was a family photo, it's kind of gone forever after that point.
You're not bossy. Tell me more about yourself. What would you describe yourself to be?
My mom phrases it as too kind. I have problems saying no to people, which is a good thing in certain cases, but sometimes it's not. And then I tend to overdo myself with too much activities or too much things held in one day, which I think it's a good thing. But it gets tiring after a while of doing it for a while.
Could I ask you about your relationship with your mom?
Yeah, so it's actually really good. She's a single mom, and she raised me basically my whole life. She's been there for me rock bottom and everything, so I'm very grateful for her. And she had a great relationship with me. She would take me to school in Albany. When we lived there, she would walk with me. And then I had attendance problems, so she would have to sit in the back of the class and attend school with me, which was fun. She wanted to kill me, but I'm alive still. So it was fun, though. And I'm grateful that she did that, because I don't feel like very many moms would want to do that with their son, especially if they have like a busy day ahead of them and stuff like that.
Tell me more about your educational experience. How was that for you?
It was very interesting. I tend to have problems with school because it's kind of more not for me, especially the bigger classes and stuff. But I feel like the work that I was doing, I already knew, and then I would head of it, and then I would tend to skip it and then be late, and then problems would come, of course. But I'm doing homeschooling currently for my GED and stuff, so it's better because it's my pace, and I'm actually finished with all the program. I just have to go take the New York State exam to get my GED officialized.
What are some comparisons that you've seen between the homeschooling experience and having to sit in like a classroom?
Okay, I know it's somewhere free. I can kind of skip the questions as needed and just go to the quiz. I liked Washington school system, different from New York State. I feel like they were bigger classes. I think there was 30 kids put in two teachers, but I feel like they tend to you more, and everything was kind of, trying to think how to put it, laid back, kind of. And this one teacher, I don't remember her name, but she liked hot air balloons, and she would have a photo in her classroom. She took the first quarter of the school year to teach cursive for us, and I don't think a lot of teachers will do that, especially in New York State. They don't have enough time to do that, and I feel like cursive is a big part of it. I suck at it, personally. I do half cursive, and it makes my handwriting look very, very terrible. But, this other teacher, which I think I had her in fifth grade, Miss Hanley, I had trouble going to her class a lot, and she started working with me. And then I started, after her class, I started exceeding, actually, the other teachers and stuff, so I feel like she's also a big part of me going to school out there and helping me throughout the process of being new and stuff like that.
Were there any other notable people that you had, like, growing up that, you know, pushed you towards where you are today?
I think I would also say Miss Jessup. She's in the Otego School District, or DCMO, the trade school. She helped me a lot also through school, and then the librarian. I would go to the library, even though I hate reading. I like looking at the pictures. I like more historical photo books and stuff, but I would sneak off there, and then she would have this big box of chocolate, and I would steal chocolate from her. But I think that's why I liked her. But but she was a good librarian and stuff. I was actually sad to leave that school at the end of it, because I made a lot of friends, actually. It's weird how it works, though. There's different counties in one school. So it's not just, like, say, Otsego County. It's, like, Herkimer County, I think, or something like that, Madison, Chenango, and stuff. So you get to meet a lot of different people from each county, and I like that. So it's not, like, just one area, the same friends over and over again.
Absolutely. So I know I asked about your friends from Washington before.
Yes.
What were some friends that you had in the trade school?
Trade school. I had a couple. There was, I'm trying to think, we called ourselves something. I don't remember. It was like 5 years ago, I think. But it would be me, Scotty, Darren, and Madison, and then a couple other people would join. But we were like the main cool kids, I guess I could say. It was very interesting. It was very grateful for the opportunity and stuff. And then we kind of drifted apart. I moved, then everyone else started flying away or moving individually to different towns or states and stuff. So we're still in contact, though. Not as often, but we're still in contact for when we have questions or just to see how each other's doing.
If I could jump back to the process of the GED,
yes,
as well as your photography business, what are you looking forward to? Like, what are you working on right now?
I'm currently on hold for the photography, also the GED. I'm going to do it in the summertime. But the photography one, I'm stumped at. I don't know what people want to see versus what they want to read. So I'm kind of taking a break, and I'm going to do the cemetery thing, as I mentioned, and see where that lets off. Because I did an album in the cemetery last year, and a lot of people seem to view the profile of the photos and stuff. So I think the cemetery might be the summer get-go and thing to do. I think last year I focused more on daily updates, like Hudson weather, and then like updates that are happening in the city itself. That didn't seem to take off, but the one did. That I had this beautiful photo with a field and like the clouds were beautifully spread out, that one. But then after that one, the levels kind of went down from there. The GED, I'm taking hold on, as I said, for the summertime. And I'm going to do it in Albany, I think, Albany County, for their testing center. And then spend a week in Albany for vacation. Why not? I love shopping and food, and there's all of that up there to do.
You mentioned that you like shopping earlier.
Tell me,
what do you like?
It's bad. It's very, very bad. I have a jewelry problem, too. I have no jewelry on today. I just have a ring. But I have buckets and buckets full of jewelry. And I hate to say it, we're like thrifting anonymous right now. But it's fun. I like different clothing and styles, like 80s, 70s. I've been more into 80s dress pants for some reason. This coat I love. I got and second show is a big problem with my addiction, but I love them. They're local. They're on Warren Street. I actually volunteered for them a couple years ago when we first moved up here. It didn't last long because I got a different job and stuff and started volunteering more at this other place. But they're a very nice organization. They have very good stuff and good prices, which is bad. For me, the prices wise, but very good place to go to and see. And they have different things, household, clothing, lots of jewelry. And everyone's taste is in one thrift shop, which is nice.
Tell me about these volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think how I actually got into it. I don't remember. I think I filled a form out when we first moved in. And it was going and going and going. And then I stopped in and actually talked to the guy, I believe it's the director, Joe. And he said, yeah, I just need this and this. I'm like, and then I started the week after. And I would volunteer every Saturday, I believe. And it was very fun. You get to help with putting clothing and stuff out like that. And I'm trying to think. It kind of was bad for me because then you get to see the stuff that's in the back. And you're like, I want that. And I want this. I'm going to put this aside for the end of the day so I can check out personally with things I don't need.
You said after you moved on from that place, there was a different volunteer job?
Yes.
What was that about?
Well, before second, I did a lot of volunteering, but before second show was Salvation Army. I loved it. It was nice. I liked that we got to help people out, but honestly, it wasn't for me. I like more high pace and more things to do, but they're a wonderful organization and stuff. But after that, I moved to Animal Kind for volunteering. I started at 14, I think. 14, a lot of things happened. Started there, and I actually got to volunteer there. I went there religiously every single day from, like, 8 to 5 or 8 to 4. With cleaning or, like, whatever they need help with, like, lifting stuff or socializing animals. And then so on and so on, I started volunteering to do more and more stuff. And then I started helping out medical with their records and, their spay neuter clinics. And now I actually work there officially. I'm trying to think. I think a year or two ago, I started working there officially when I got my working card. And it's been fun. I love it. They're a great organization. They're a nonprofit. We bring in animals from New York City sometimes to have them get a second chance. We do high volume spay neuter clinics, also TNR, trap, neuter, lease programs. And they're getting a new building, actually, they announced on Facebook. And I'm happy to see it go in a new direction, especially for being a small organization and kind of growing to, like, a builder's bigger space. And the Katrin Hecker, she's the one that founded Animal Kind in 2000, I think, so 26 years ago. And then she recently passed her executive director thing to Nikki Ormsby, which is a new ED. She's lovely. She has great visions for the new building and all of that. So I'm happy to be a part of that organization.
Definitely. No, that's very interesting. And I know you also did a work program of some kind with Hudson Hall.
Yes. I think it was 2025 work development force program, I believe they put it. We got to meet different people. We met J.D. Urban, which he is a photographer, local one, I believe, and a couple other people. One was a, I think, kind of coach for the NFL, I believe, football and stuff. And it was very fun. At the end, we got to, it was a week-long thing, so at the end, we got to put our own show on. So there was singing, someone did a poem. I actually, it was fun, I got to direct that show. I'm trying to think. So, as you go to the show, you don't think, I mean, it was a small one. It wasn't like a 500 people crowd one. But from that moment, you actually see how stressful it is. Because no one listens to you. So you have to, like, get them on point, and then the time, and then all the work that goes into a show with that. But I met some great people. I met Tammy, the old executive director of Hudson Hall, Sage Carter, I think she's the manager, and then Adam Weinhardt, the new manager, or executive director of Hudson Hall and stuff, and they're terrific people to work with. The environment's fun, and I love it there, and I'm glad that I got to do the first work program, and then I actually did one this year, which was in collaboration with Millennial Diamond Reflex, PS21 in Chatham, and then Operation Unite in Hudson, New York. This one, we did the Dark Fest in Chatham, so we went to different venues and stuff, and we had our little books, and we got to judge them, and then at the end, we did award ceremonies, like the most funniest, most work, or most beautiful and stuff, so that was very fun, experience. I actually ended up writing a post on it on my blog, because I have a main one, but then I'm trying to kind of drift away from it. And then the new one, I did a post on it from my experience from it, and it was wonderful. You get to meet new people. The first day, you can see everyone's very shy, but after the second day, when we do like the icebreaker with the names and then all of this, everyone is best friends basically at the end, which is good. And I like that they provide that for the community. I feel like there should be more programs for teenagers and stuff. Like, we have Spark of Hudson, but I wish there was also one specifically for teens of the community, maybe like every week or every other week. They could get together and talk, or like board games or movie nights and stuff like that.
Tell me about the Spark of Hudson. What is that?
I'm actually not too familiar with it. I tried to go to an event, but then my day got busy. I believe they're like a hangout area. They do, I want to say workshops too, some workshops. And they do like different events and stuff. People can go there. I believe they can rent spaces out. I pass it. It looks very beautiful from the outside. I never actually had a chance to go to the inside, but someday I will try to get there eventually.
What do you imagine the youth program that you just spoke about?
Youth program. I'm trying to think. Because I know there is youth programs like the Boys and Girls Club and stuff, but the youth club I would think of would be local teenagers, maybe like 16 to 18, that are kind of on the shy side. A thing for them to be more opened up and feel more safe about. And stuff like that. Basically, no, I don't want to say outcast, because that's not a nice phrase to put it, but more people on the sidelines, I should say, is a nicer way to phrase it, that have friends, but they're not the most interactive because they're shy and stuff like that. So I wanted to do one that maybe like made people open up about like their true colors, because you never know. Anyone could pass by and they could be famous or the most beautiful vocalist ever. Stuff like that, just for someone, kids or teens, to open up or talk about stuff that they're going through with each other.
Sounds like you would be very influential in the community, for
yes,
sure.
Thank you.
Do you imagine it being organized similar to the Hudson Hall program that you, the workforce program?
I would say so, or maybe more of a weekly thing, maybe like every other week or like every Thursday they would meet up here. But I feel like the Hudson Workshop programs kind of do that. You make friends in the program itself, and you're being shy, and then at the end of the whole program, your friends are like, I can't believe it just ended. We need more of it. But yeah, I hope it's possibly in the future when I'm older, like much older. Maybe I could organize something like that for the community.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful for sure. If I can jump back to the workshop program, you put on a show. Tell me about the show.
Yes, the show was very last minute. We had 2 days, I believe, to get the show, and we invited our family, friends. I didn't know there was going to be that many people there. And as the director, you have to speak at the end of it. But it was fun. We did poems. They did one of Amy Winehouse's songs, Back to Black. Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man. And then, Is It a Crime? I think that's by Sadie. But it was a bunch of local teens, and you wouldn't expect all of them to have different things, like what happened, like the vocals and the poem and stuff like that. So it was fun. I had to direct it, like I said, and at the end I had to do a speech, and I didn't know that until a couple minutes before the show ended, so I hate to say it, but I'm using like this and like looking up things and like professional words and stuff, and I think I just came up with like, thank you everyone for coming to 2025's Workforce Program. I want to give a big shout out to, I think Tammy was director at the time, Tammy, Sage Carter, and everyone who took their time out of the day to be here and to talk with us. And then I kind of just ran off the stage because I hate being on the stage. I like being center of attention, but not like that. You have everyone staring at you. It's like, if you mess up, they're going to catch it. But no, it was a very fun program. And I hope it reaches more kids and they're able to expand it to do more with the community and more of the community's kids and stuff like that.
I know earlier you mentioned that it was a little, like, frenetic trying to get everything together.
Yes.
How did you feel otherwise? Was there any kind of, like, pride or just anxiety?
All the above. There is everything, especially during it. The show was a couple hours, and we were rehearsing getting the lights done because we got to do that and work the cameras and program the lights. Programming the lights is just another skill. It's so much to do. It's, like, Q12, and then it's all these buttons. But it was stressful at first, especially trying to organize everyone and be like, you're on after this person, you're on after this person, and then trying to get everyone to calm down. Lots of laughing, which was good, though. But I feel like at the end, I was proud that we were able to accomplish what we wanted to do, plus some, and show what the program really means to all of us, like that it's a space, or a week, I should say, for us teenagers or kids to get to be artistic and then do what we want to do and vocalize what we want to do, and a good way for us to get a feeling of what they have to do for a show and how much actual work, much more work they have to do for that. And I like that they also give us the opportunity to do that also, and like give us a job, pay us, and have us do everything that they would normally do. So it was a great opportunity, and I'm very, very grateful that I got to direct the show.
Can you imagine yourself doing the program again, or do you think there are other things that you're looking forward towards?
I think I could, actually, because I liked last year's and this year's, of course, and I think I could keep doing it until I'm at the age that I can't do it no more. Or eventually, maybe I could assist with setting up the stuff with them and stuff, but I'm happy that they took me on after the first program, and I've been working their shows and here and there, and I'm grateful for that.
Tell me more about that. So you went back, not as part of the program, but just to do these random shows?
Yeah, so, I'm trying to think. So the first program and then was, I believe his name was Mark Tabbitt. And then after, that was the show they invited us to go to. And then after that, I get a text saying, I think it was the opera they had last year. A text saying, do you want to assist with the opera and help us with it? And I said, sure, why not? Sounds fun. I got to watch it every single time it went on. Very grateful for it. Very different audience each time, which is amazing, though. Some of the same faces, some of the board members and stuff. But I was doing ushering for them, so, like, checking people in and stuff like that. And it's fun. I feel like, as a guest, you walk in, you hit your name, and you go find your seat. I feel like they don't understand how much work is actually put in to the thing of making a spreadsheet and then doing the chairs with dots and their numbers and stuff, and then just in general how much work actually goes into a show or a production that happens. And I feel like me joining Hudson Hall and doing the workforce kind of opened my eyes for me, like, because before I knew any of this, I was like, why did they do this and not this, and it looks so easy, but then in reality it's not that easy. It's a lot of programming and trying to communicate with everyone, the director, the stage coordinator, the assistants, and the band members, and all of this stuff that gets put into a show. But it's very rewarding after the end, after seeing the finished product, and how the audience reacts and stuff is a very, very, very good feeling at the end of that.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be satisfying after all that effort. It seems like you're really engaged in all of these seemingly random spots of the community.
I am.
Tell me about other ways that you're engaged. Other ways.
I did a thing recently with, it was last month, with Operation Unite, the executive director is Elena Mosley. Wonderful program. She texted me saying, I saw this and I saw like your article you did on it and it's terrific and I want you to be a part of the youth government day. And I was like, I wasn't expecting this, so like I kept reading it. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. So I made some of the council things before at the, not headquarters, but the building of Opportunity Night. And so I missed most of them with work. But she was very, very understandable about that. The day came, and we got to do a mock council. And we got to, in the morning, we got to meet, like, officials of the government. So we met Jackie Salvatore, Claire Cousin, really bad at names, but we met a lot of people with the community. Max, he works with somebody, I don't remember, I'm so sorry. But it was fun, and then towards the end we got to meet the mayor. I was the mayor because I was the last one there, so I got the mayor shirt. We got to meet with the mayor, we got to meet with the county clerk and just visit their jobs for the day, ask them questions and what this initializes and what their roles are and how does their part affect the whole city running and stuff. And then we got a mock trial, so we had some audience members come in, and then some of the topics were like road safety and fast food, and then there would be like positive side and a bad side, so like you get like these little things you can bump up and like with cons and pros and stuff, and very, very fun. It was interesting to see everything planned out in that day. But it was a very grateful opportunity to be a part of that, and I hope to be a part of it next year as well.
Yeah, how did that opportunity shape the way that you think and how you think about your community now?
It shaped my way, it shaped me in a way that I was like, wow. Like, you think it runs by one person, but really, from the council members, it has to get put to the council board and stuff like that. It has to go through different people in order to actually be a thing. So if you want to stop, then you have to go through all of these people and then have to get it approved. And then before that, before I knew anything with like the legalization and everything about that, I thought, you do this, the mayor approves it, checks whatever he has to do, and it's approved. It's not that, actually. It goes through different people of that, the council president, and then the board has to, the council members have to vote on it, and then it has to get passed on to this person, and then this person has to read it, and then it's a very, very difficult thing, I feel like. Or to be a part of that would have to be very difficult, because then it's not an instantaneous thing. It's months to years, and then some of the grants, I believe, they said, can take up to 3 years. So if they got a grant for, like, a sidewalk or something, it could take up to 3 to 4 or more years for that grant to be approved and then for them to work on the sidewalk that the grant's for.
How has that influenced the way that you think about Hudson in terms of, you know, new infrastructure?
It influenced me in certain ways, especially when we met, like, Jackie Salvatore, sheriff, and stuff, and then how little parts, like the cops and the firefighters, DPW, and stuff, are vital to the city to make them run smoothly, and, of course, the mayor and all of everyone working in Hudson Hall, or City Hall, to make the city run smoothly. And before you think it's just that, but it's really more, like I keep saying over and over again. But the DPW has to clean up after parades and stuff, and then they have to set up, and then the police have to do like boarding or whatever to like be prepared for like roadblocks and this, and then DPW has to come after the event to clean up and then dispose of everything. And then it's a lot of work they put into, especially for like events and stuff. They have to plan it ahead. It shaped me with me thinking that it's easy to do such things and just it's a day thing and then it's all done. Because you really never see as just a person or of yourself, or if you don't know anything about this, you just think it's cleaned up and it's not that much to go into it. It is so, because you have to get DPW to clean up, and then they have to pay DPW, and then they have to get the money or funding for that, and then You wouldn't think there are so many components into hosting a parade or an event on Warren Street that there is, because it has to get approved, and then it's so much work to do.
So I know this is really hard to imagine, but a couple years from now, where do you imagine yourself would be?
That's difficult. A lot of people in Emocan said you should be a vet tech. You should be a vet because I'm really good with animals and know a lot of stuff about them. Which, thankful to Lisa Bloodgrit, she was one of the technicians at Animalkind, and she taught me everything I know, mainly about veterinary medicine, plus the doctors, of course. But she kind of took me as her assistant and showed me, like, this is this, and then you make a slide by doing this and stuff. And I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to learn from her. But I'm trying to think, they like to plan my future, kind of, like, you're going to vet school and then stuff. So I've been looking and researching stuff, and if I were, maybe I go to UK or to Europe, or I might want to continue the art and media stuff like I do at Hudson Hall. Kind of stressful when you have to think about your future and what you want to do, because there's so much time, you push it aside, and then with so much time you actually have to fix everything and get everything worked out. But I kind of want to move from Hudson. Hudson's very beautiful, but I wanted to move probably back to Washington or somewhere new. That's not expensive, too. Possibly Rhode Island. Rhode Island's nice. I think it's expensive, though. Or even Maine. Maine's expensive again, but it's beautiful. Things. We actually had someone walk in before, and he was young, about my age, a little younger when I started. He works in Maine on a boat that's a floating veterinary practice. So, like, that's very interesting. That's something to do. But then there's also these other careers with animals you can do, like park ranger, rescuer, and all of these things. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot to do. And I mean, they all involve certain skills and certain schooling and stuff, so it's definitely something I want to look into. Right now I'm kind of just taking everything slow and seeing where I lead myself in the future to be, or what I'm going to do for a career.
Absolutely. To wrap up, rather than thinking about the future, I'm going to invite you backwards.
Okay.
So think about little kid you. What's something that you would like kid you to know?
I think little kid me used to escape a lot. So I think that's one thing I have. I would have, like, a leash thing because I was a runner, I guess, and I ran a couple times. But I think little kid me would be proud of who I became and the people I've met through the years of being here, existing, and how far we got and what we know now that we didn't know, say, like, 20 or not 20 years ago, like 16 or 17 years ago and stuff like that. And I'm trying to think, like, if we never moved back to Hudson, what would my life be? I would have never went to Animalkind or met anyone here. So I kind of like to do that, like, where would I be if we never came back to Hudson, which I'm very grateful that my mom chose to come back to Hudson, because if we didn't, I wouldn't be in this room talking to you or meeting the people I meet every day. So it's a very good thing to be grateful for.
I agree. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you.